What's up, you guys? Not Sean Rossap here. He's on vacation. Happy Turkey Day Eve. It's your boys, Alex Pulowski, and over here because this is so slipshod, guys. We don't even have an actual thing with our names on it.
That's right. We got empty Twitter handles. Yeah. I'm empty Twitter handle B. That would be Robert D. Felice. How you doing, Alex?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
We are going to talk about an excellent Turkey Day Eve episode of Dynamite. Guys, get in your Humper Chats at humperchats.com and also send in your Super Chats by the little dollar sign at the bottom of the YouTube chat. We'll read all of them on the air. Subscribe to Fightful Select while you're at it, because that's where Sean is going to be dropping all the scoops, even while he's on vacation this weekend. We had a hell of a scoop ski today about somebody on the former Wednesday Night War opponent who just decided, you know what, I'll stick around for two more days. That's a story that you guys could find on Fightful Select. But we are here to talk about Dynamite. It started in an explosive fashion, Robert. Because we got Punk coming out ostensibly to do his match with the old QT Marshall, with old Q-Tip, and instead, well, we got that eventually. But first, we had MJF interrupt, and my God, this was, I think, everything we hoped it would be.
I think I had said this best to my friend. I said that wasn't what I was expecting, but it was somehow better, because these two guys tore into each other for about 20 plus minutes, and it was one of the best promos I've ever seen in wrestling, let alone on Wednesday night from AEW. This had everything from the jabs that you expected to maybe for the first time in a decade, there was a chant for The Miz on wrestling television. I don't know. This was amazing.
Oh my God. It started out with MJF. And then a retort from CM Punk, which is where he said, you know, cause MJF says, you know, he comes out, he does his MJF shtick. He's really, really, really good at this. Like so, so good at just naturally delivering this monologue to his opponent, tearing him down and all this kind of stuff and building himself up. He's fantastic at it. But the main thrust of this part of it was, I was kind of hurt that you were out there naming all these people you wanted to wrestle, but you didn't name me. You didn't name old Maxwell. That doesn't feel very good. And then Punk gets on the mic and says, well, yeah, I didn't name you. You're just basically, you're a less famous Miz. And,
yeah.
And that was where everybody kind of got a little crazy. Everybody started chanting that was where I thought that they weren't doing this at the Wintrust Arena in Chicago, but they were doing it at the Apollo Theater in Harlem, because we got a lot of people in the audience going, like really reacting to the Miz line, which was good.
Perfect.
But I did love the thing about how, MJF talking about, I do respect you. I respect you that you're straight edge, but I gotta say, I've never seen somebody straight edge who looks so much like a meth addict, which was a hell of a line. And then, like, you're not the same guy you were. Who's the guy I grew up on? The killer, the renegade. You might as well be out here preaching hustle, loyalty, and respect. Ooh. I felt every single syllable of that land on Punk. That was great.
And they nailed that, and somehow CM Punk has become John Cena. And then they go as far as to call him the "You Can't See Me" man, but MJF said, "I can see you." And he referenced his UFC career, and Punk brilliantly said, "I'm disappointed in you. You're hitting me with low-hanging fruit." And they could have cut the promo off right around there. And then Punk said, "But you're right. I have been afraid. There's a lot of truth to what you're saying about me being second fiddle. But like the second city of Chicago, when you burn down, you rise from the ashes. And I gave them ice cream bars last time. And the only thing I can think of that's better is punching you in your little needle dick. And
you got that chant over too. But I did love MJF doing what the heel's supposed to do, which is say, you want to go? Let's go right now. And the audience gets up for it. He takes off his jacket. He takes off his watch. He takes off the ring, puts it in his pocket. And then he calmly rolls out of the ring and walks up the ramp. Because we're not going to do that here. Why would we do that here? We're not going to do that in your hometown. We're not going to do that. I thought that was great.
They could do this anywhere. And I'm already sold. This is everything it needed to be and more.
Yeah. This was, I think we all kind of figured where we're going to get this. Like I'm not even talking about after last week. After last week, we knew we were going to get this, but before last week, we're all like, people were saying when I heard people talking about dream matches for Punk now that he's back in an AEW, I heard a lot of dream matches, but I heard one other thing: dream promo battles. Like, usually you don't get that. And we got one before, which was him and Kingston. And the other one I always heard was him and MJF, and we got it tonight.
So many people thought MJF could have just baited Chicago at the first dance and come out to Cult of Personality. And they didn't give us that. They gave us something legitimate. Punk said a great line of, I won't even lie to you. And I'm certainly never going to lie to these people. When he starts lying to the people, it's going to be brilliant. But
yeah,
this was everything you could have wanted.
I also really appreciated Punk being honest about, because what MJF ran him down and said, you're scared you don't have it anymore. It's like, well, I was, I'm not anymore. You know, like that was a good thing. Like being honest about it, I thought that was good. We got a lot of super and humper chats about this little segment here. Got Limitless Ronald Lee sends a humper chat saying, first time humper chat, can't watch live, but that MJF PG Punk promo, can't wait for the match. I love AEW. Yeah, people are really, really excited about this.
Yeah, PG Punk wasn't the best zinger, but I think everything else around it was so good that how can you not love it?
Eloquent says, Punk saying that Britt was actually the fourth pillar was my favorite line. And that was
yeah,
really, really good. That was excellent. Rerun says, so somehow MJF and Punk exceeded my expectations. I had my wife take a stealth pic so I could see my reaction.
That's nice. Amazing.
Says Humber Chant saying, MJF and Punk gold, but, we'll talk about this, later. Hold on to that one. Don't delete it, Luis, and put that where it belongs. Then we also have New Punk Rants sends, I love the sporadic nature of AEW. Very unformulaic. That Punk versus MJF promo is probably my new favorite ever, I think. Love the new feuds, AEW for life. Chris Reigns, Humper Chat. That exchange between CM Punk and MJF was just amazing. I also love how Punk put over Britt Baker again. Yeah, he keeps doing that. And that's good. That's really good to keep that fresh in our minds. JW Pringle says AEW does WWE better than WWE. The MJF promo spot was amazing and better that legend spot than WWE has arguably ever done. Gabagool be with you and also with you. I think that was interesting because now we've got, for the second time in a row, when they'd never ever do this, Dynamite opened with a promo segment. Last week it was Adam Page's homecoming after winning the championship, which felt warranted. And then you had that amazing Bryan Danielson, that I kept stop doing that eventually because he's definitely not that anymore. Comes out and starts up that feud really red hot. And then this week, got to have CM Punk start off the night, and MJF, of course, is going to want in on that. So it made sense to me. I realized watching this that I don't really mind when the first half hour of an episode of wrestling is a promo segment, as long as that half hour is taken up by guys who are actually delivering lines to each other and not reciting scripts they memorized 20 minutes ago.
Over a quarter of this show was CM Punk, and it was one of the best openings I think they've ever done.
Yep.
I don't think you can do it again next week because you don't want to make the audience think, hey, every week is going to open with a promo.
Yeah.
But you've shown that these are the people who know how to do it, so just keep doing it with the people who know how.
Right. Valab says that opening segment is what SmackDown wishes it had every week. A 20-minute promo segment where the fans hang on every word. That was great. Yeah, the fans were in on every bit of this. Amir says, less famous Miz versus John Cena at Resolution 2022.
I don't know if... they can hold out that long.
It's one of your marquee matches on that... Battle of the Belts thing.
Even though
it's not for a belt, maybe they can't do it for that. But like, they haven't really said what the belts thing is.
Winter
for.
Is coming is also around.
Yeah, that's so soon though. I don't want them to do it that soon. I want this to play out a little bit longer. Rob Reed says really good point by Rob Reed. I gotta imagine Miz got online and was trying to figure out why he was trending on Twitter.
Ah. Poor Miz probably thought, you know, everybody's just loving his Dancing with Stars performances.
I got eliminated several weeks ago and they're still talking about me.
Maybe, you know, it's Christmas time. Somebody's watching the Christmas Bounty on Freeform. I don't know. But Miz must be on cloud nine right now.
Yeah. Always Big O says, I see a lot of people saying MJF and CM Punk made too many WWE references. In order to tell the stories, you have to be able to acknowledge the past. Thank you. I agree. We are so used to WWE ignoring anything that didn't happen in WWE. Rivals always take shots. And I feel like it wasn't even them like taking shots at WWE. It was just acknowledging Punk's past. Like that's that the story of Punk coming back after 7 years off, you have to tell the story of where he was before and why we all missed him so much. Like that's the story. Is not that he was gone for seven years and came back, but the fact that we wanted him to come back so badly because we remember stuff like the pipe bomb and we remember stuff like him having that amazing summer of punk cut short by a weird, like Kevin Nash got a text message from himself to attack from Triple H. Was it? And then Triple H, like the whole thing fell apart because the booking was so bad. We wanted to see what it would actually be in a place where they wouldn't undercut their guys who were being pushed by the crowd through the top. And I think it's great the way they did it.
And Punk is allowed to say to MJF, you're a less famous Miz, because Punk saw the rise of the Miz. It's not like Darby saying, hey, yeah, you're just a knockoff of the Miz, because that would be less meaningful. But Punk pulled this off perfectly. And so did MJF. He definitely had that one waiting for a few years. And it showed. And it was maybe the best thing he's done so far. Much better than months and months with Jericho. I will say that.
The Badger to One Jam Beard says Punk versus MFJ, who's less well known, but he's also very good. I'm kidding. MJF at New Year's Smash, December 29. Now they might do it then. They might anchor a different major Dynamite special by doing it with that. And then Reese Power says that the needle dick chant had some serious Waterboy vibes. there was something else had some serious Waterboy vibes later tonight. A running tackle that nearly killed a man. And then Alicia Ellis says, if MJF beats Punk, which I think he should, what do you think we see from Punk? A downward spiral to his bitter old self? I don't know. Honestly, you could, if they decide to go with MJF over Punk, which I don't think is the thing they're going to do, I think that, yeah, we could have that spiral downward. I think that, this is an opportunity for Punk to turn heel without turning heel, because guess who he's going to cheat against? MJF. He's going to blatantly cheat to beat MJF, but we hate MJF, so we're going to cheer for Punk. Now, if he did that against somebody we like, I don't know, Hangman Page somewhere down the line, then we're going to boo him. So I think that there's a really cool story to be told here of Punk knowing who his opponents are, so he knows what his reaction to what he's going to do is. Like, if he cheats to beat MJF, we're going to cheer him. But that's not a thing we've seen so far from Punk. Punk's been a fairly, you know, straight shooter. So now we see where this goes from him. Yeah.
He had some fun with Eddie Kingston, but I think he can cheat with MJF and get away with it. I don't think Punk turns full heel until the world title is in his hands.
Yeah. Brian Medina says, I can't wait to see the low-cost Miz MJF versus Punk match. They're really building it up into something really special. Mark Losper says, you guys missed the non-subtle shots at Hunter. Those are brutal. Yeah, calling him the King of Kings. That was some good stuff, too. And also, the only way you're going to get to be top guy in AEW is if you wait around long enough for Tony Khan to have a daughter. That was a good one,
too. That's funny. I mean, Hunter took a few stray shots. Granted, one of them was just the truth that Hunter made sure Punk was number two. But I enjoyed the wait around for Tony Khan to have a daughter. But I think, obviously, MJF will be a top guy long before then. And I think Punk is going to be the guy who solidifies that MJF is a top guy.
Yeah. Sawyer says, I did feel like MJF Punk AJF started to drag, but AEW gives them the freedom to improvise when they sense they're losing the fans with some comments too at the crowd for heat. It feels natural. Yeah, they always are able to. There was a lot of, you know, shut the F up chants, please shut up, stuff like that. But there was no whatting. There was nothing like intentionally trying to screw up the promo. It was just like, this guy has honest to God heat and people hate him. Kind of a chance.
And again, I like that they were able to bring it back down and bring it around to Punk going, no, you're right. They could have, another place would have ended the promo with, oh yeah, well, if you think I'm scared, I'll just fight you now and I'll hit you with the microphone and hit you with the GTS. But they brought it back around to a human conversation, and that is what is important.
Cowboy Clay says, thank you for the Humper Chat, says, I finally realized what the Punk Marshall match was missing. A cut to backstage where MJF is watching the match on TV as an impossibly awkward angle and nodding for no real reason. Am I supposed to invest in this feud based on brilliant promo work alone? Where is the shot of MJF watching a TV that's directly to his left?
No, you do need to watch TV at an angle in order for everything to be taken seriously. That is for the men, obviously, in the women's division. Things can only be taken seriously when you're called a bitch. These are things that are set in stone, and that's why AEW is Bush League while WWE is Marvel. You see, these are the things that happen.
Yeah. The Punk versus QT Marshall match, was fine. It was what it was supposed to be. Punk won. There was no doubt about it. You know, that was that great. Okay, fine. And that just gets Punk to get cheered. He gets to hit the GTS in front of the Chicago crowd. I didn't think there was much more to it than that. I thought QT Marshall played his role perfectly, and that was it.
Yeah, when you can get people to pop for body slams, I mean, Chicago loves Punk, and that's all they needed.
Yeah. We got a couple of chats here. Adam M. Says, great Dynamite show. Happy holidays, guys. The MJF should marry Tony Khan's daughter line got me. Thunder Rosa is awesome. She is awesome. We're going to talk about that later. And then another one about an overall impressions of the show. Van Twinblade sent a Humper Chat saying, Punk and MJF put on a 20-minute promo class. Darby flying out to tackle one of the ass boys. Some dickhead in the crowd threw Cody's belt back at him and hit Pac. Great episode. 8 out of 10. Yeah, it was a very good episode. And we're going to talk, I'm sure, a lot more about the other things you brought up. We also got, if you guys want to have more Humper Chats or Super Chats sent in about CM Punk and MJF, because that was pretty much
send in the Humper Chats all night long, and we'll be here
all night long. We'll keep reading them out. Don't worry if we've actually gotten past it. The Christian and Jurassic Express segment, I think Jurassic Express is now ranked number one in the rankings, so they get a match versus Lucha Bros. Christian says he'll make sure they become champions, which to me, like, is they're really laying this on thick that Christian's definitely going to turn heel for them. And I think the story is they don't want to. And that is where you get the split. So that might be interesting.
This reeks of, well, Christian's just going to turn into Matt Hardy and be like, no, you need to cheat to win. And that'll lead to some good matches for Jungle Boy. And maybe Christian gets with Matt Hardy or a Chris Jericho, and I could see some tag team matches. You know, I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah. But yeah, that was this segment. That was pretty quick. There was another backstage thing with Eddie Kingston. Apparently, I think the conceit here was that there was a guy going around having all the people in the back like record a message saying Happy Thanksgiving. And this would have been a better conceit if we had seen people giving uninterrupted Happy Thanksgiving messages like 6 seconds at a time. And then we come to Eddie and Eddie gets interrupted while he's eating his cake. But I thought this was fine. And then he gets interrupted and he just can't stand these guys interrupted. And then we get to 2.0 talking about whichever one is Blockhead. Blockhead and his friend. Blockhead says, listen, we all read the amazing thing in the
Place for June.
And, you know, it's very, very heartwarming. But it seems like you're kind of done. Like you've given up. Like you don't want to do this anymore. You're kind of content. Well, you know, I don't know if that's something you should be doing if you're a fighter. And the other guy says, his Blockhead's friend says, I think, you know, it's kind of sad, though, that you weren't able to help out your friend Moxley. And then Kingston just gets up and is going to stab him in the eye with his fork. And instead, Daniel Garcia throws hot coffee in Kingston's face. And we get a pull-apart brawl where a blinded Eddie Kingston is lashing out with a fork in all directions, overturning a table. And Daniel Garcia is doing Russell Westbrook, put up your dukes. Like, that. This was an amazing backstage segment.
Yeah, this is good. A little worried about Kingston and catering being too much of a bit. But they made it work here because the one guy goes, you're not hungry anymore. And he goes, I want my cake. What are you talking about? I'm eating cake.
I'm literally eating cake right now, partner. Like, it's I love it.
Great. But I'm excited for the Black Friday match because Daniel Garcia, again, in there with another really top name. And Moxley, when he comes back, has a match ready for him just to beat up Blockhead and his friend.
Yeah, I like that. Van Twinblade says, RIP Eddie's cake. Gone too soon.
Yeah.
The Badger to One Jam Beard says 2.0 and Garcia are lucky that fork was plastic. It's true. Sawyer says, I saw the Eddie segment as he was in catering, following up on his line from last week. Yeah. He says, you caught me in my happy place, which is sitting alone at a table in catering, eat a piece of cake.
I mean,
which I think is a great
how much
thing.
More relatable can you make this man? He's eating cake by himself. He's happy. That's all of us.
Yeah. That was good. So good. Van Twinblade also says closing out a birthday packed with wrestling podcasts and vlogs with AEW post show. Happy birthday, Van Twinblade. Yeah, happy birthday in the chat to Van Twinblade.
That's right.
That's awesome. But we got something else, pretty awesome. We got the Gun Club, AKA the Ass Boys, versus Bear Country. Bear Country took the L quicker than I thought they were going to.
You see, but the Ass Boys are undefeated. They have such a power of the ass surrounding them that they're able to defeat the Bears.
Colton Gunn, apparently 34-0, and he's going to have to get a lawyer to talk to the BCS because That guy, he's one of those things. Like, I don't know what conference he plays in. Is it the All-American Conference or whatever, like the Sun Belt Conference? Because I know, I'm pretty sure his strength of schedule is lousy. But if you're 34-0 and you can't make the top five rankings, you got to talk to somebody.
It's all about the quality of opponent. You know, just it's not about the wins.
Quality wins, man.
It's quality, the quality wins. Of opponent.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this was over quick.
Not much to say here until the one guy just gets ran right through by Darby.
Then we get Sting coming out. And the guy who wasn't in the match, Austin Gunn, ass boy number one, he jumps out of the ring and sprints up the ramp, only to be met by a literal flying Darby Allin, who sprints out of the babyface tunnel and launches himself headfirst directly into the man's face. Like, I thought he decapitated him. Like, it was one of the craziest things I've seen.
Darby might be all of like 110, 115, but he uses every inch of all of that and every bit of force he can muster up to just run right through people. And this was maybe the best attack I've ever seen.
Yeah. Ricardo Alitalo says, Darby took off someone's head tonight and I'm here for it. Valab says, Sting had so much trust in Darby that he didn't even flinch when Austin came running at him full speed and Darby intercepted. That was perfect. Yeah, no, that was timed excellent because Austin didn't slow down. He was running full speed at Sting, and Darby had to meet him at the exact point. Like, that was really...
Do you think the Jackass theme song just starts playing in his head whenever he does anything? Like, just right on cue in order to hit it perfectly?
I'm Darby Allin. Welcome to Jackass. Like, I feel like that's just, he wakes up that morning and just says it because he lives his life like that. Yeah. We had a Tone sends a hyper chat, a humper chat. DOY middle linebacker Darby Allin. Yeah, he's definitely he first team all defense with that kind of a hit. Although the problem, they call it targeting. Man, back in the days when tackling was men, we could get
when football was men.
That
was the whole point of the XFL. Where's my football? There it is, Darby Allin.
Yeah. Reese Power says Todd ass. Took that Rod and Todd ass, took that Darby tackle like Maud with the t-shirt cannon.
Oh,
poor Maud. That RIP, RIP, RIP to Maud Flanders in the chat. RIP Maud Flanders.
Press F to respect. I mean, Jesus.
James Bowers closes out on this segment saying there are now three generations of AEW stars in the company. The current main event, the four pillars, and then Garcia, Dante, etc. This company is set for the next 15 years if they stay in business. It's true. Like, they stay in business. I think it's one of those things, like, stay in business or like figure out how to keep everybody forever. Like, yeah, all these guys are, you know.
We've seen promotions stay in business. Now I want to see them stay at a certain level and grow because they have too much talent not to.
Yeah. We got a backstage segment with Colin Fish. So Fish hasn't quite yet figured out that Adam Cole leaves him to get choked the F out during every match. So he hasn't turned on him yet. But anyway, so they're then the best friends walk over and they have a little deal back and forth. So on Dynamite, we're gonna get Cole and Fish versus Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta, which should be fun. Should be a lot of fun. That could
matter. Yeah, and I mean, look, Bobby knows that Adam sometimes had to leave him to Keith Lee, had to leave him to, you know, the War Raiders. He's used to this. It's not anything personal. It's just, that's how it works. Adam has to be protected. Now, we all do know that more games in another world is coming around, and I'm sure that makes them nostalgic. But I just hope that soon enough they're joined by a third, because that other show that used to be on Wednesday nights, it's not so great.
Yeah, absolutely. Rob Wilkinson's Humper Chat wants to send his my best well wishes to Jesse the Buckeye, who's in the hospital and not doing too well. Everybody, she's a pretty amazing member of the community, and we're all wishing her well. She's in our thoughts and prayers. And also to at GA Tweets, who lost her father recently. Sorry for your loss, but because it's Rob Wilkins, he's not going to let us dwell in sadness for long, because he says he gives us a nice visual to think of. Rob Wilkins says that, speaking of Waterboy, like the assistant coach at the end of that movie, I was rubbing my nipples at the end of the MJF and Punk promo. Hashtag gosh darn pals.
Well, now that I can't get that image out of my head, how are we supposed to go on with this show?
Well, we're going to talk about this, Robert DeFelice. Did you have, if you were a betting man, would you have bet that Dante Martin would sign that contract and join Team Taz? Because I would not. They do a backstage segment where we're looking at a contract across the table. Taz is like, I don't even know what you're doing here, Leo Rush. How do you have a copy of that contract? Why are you even here? And then he's like, we're here to do business. Well, this is some business, says Leo Rush, that we are not interested in. And Dante says, hold up, actually I am, and signs his name to the contract, and then takes something from Hook, that may or may not be in a gummy, from Hook, and then climbs over the table and leaves Leo behind. I see a lot of people saying, oh, this is a swerve. This is all a ruse by Leo Rush to get Team Taz to think that Dante's on their side. And I was like, maybe, but maybe it's just something we did not expect. And for some reason, like, which I feel like they'll explain, Dante's like, no, I want to go with these guys, which is sad because Leo and Dante had become my favorite tag team. But I realized this. I thought we were going to get Dante versus Ricky Starks matches. Now I realize we're getting Dante versus Leo Rush matches, and I feel like that's crazy. We're also probably getting a Leo versus Ricky Starks match. Okay, that's also great. This whole thing of like everyone wants Dante, and everyone's trying to be the puppet master. I think this is a really rich story with lots of very interesting outcomes.
Yeah, I am going to err on the side of caution just because that seemed so simple. Yeah. That it almost, I can't think that he really just signed a contract that said, okay, I'm in Team Taz now. But I do think we get Leo. And
I mean, we saw him sign the contract, whether or not he signed somebody else's name to it or whatever. Like, I mean, that was the contract. Maybe it was the thing where like Adam Page signed a different document. Like they switched the documents. Maybe that was it. But Taz seemed to thinks that it's all right there. Ricky Starks is wrestling on Dark and Elevation. The fact that he's not wrestling on Dynamite and Rampage now makes me angry. Like, put this man in a ring, have him defend that title, for God's sake. Like, that would be a thing. Like, he's got a title on him. Like, have him defend it.
I think maybe that was the contract Dante signed. Maybe he signed an FTW title match for Battle of the Belts.
That would be very
interesting. You never know. I think that this was all way too quick. I don't think he signed with Team Taz, but I do agree that if Hook offers you some chips, you take the chips and you go with Hook.
Yeah. Valab says Dante Martin is a hooker. Hashtag Hook Gang. Hashtag Hook Nation. Where my hookers at? Sawyer says that AEW really likes its custody battle stories. This one's intriguing.
This one's better than the never-ending custody battle of the Lucha Brothers.
Yes. Dylan Bishop says, a suggestion I like, Leo versus Ricky, custody of Dante, ladder match. I'd watch that. I'd watch him being 10-year-old Dominic Mysterio in this little thing. I'd watch that. So we have Brendan Towngate sends in a super chat saying this show was really good from top to bottom. Darby killing Austin was awesome. Rosa Hater had was a badass match, and Ricky Starks and Eddie Kingston on my TV. No complaints. Let's talk about this Rosa Hater match because it was what I wanted from this. Like, this is what I wanted. The right person won, and I liked the little intrigues. Every time there's a backstage segment with Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Jamie Hayter and Rebel. Rebel and Britt do the DMD, but Jamie never does it. So it's always been interesting to me. Everyone always points that out. And now a little friction because while the ref was being stupid and not paying attention to what was going on in the ring, we got Britt coming in and trying to super kick Thunder, but Jamie Hayter got super kicked instead. And that directly led to the end of the match, and she lost. And then she shoved Britt and walked away.
I like it. It doesn't have to mean, okay, they're breaking up, but it does mean I'm not just going to allow you to super kick me, tell me you're sorry, and then we can move on and I'll keep being your heater. It means, no, I'm mad. I was going to be champion. Now I'm not. Perfect. You know, Thunder Rosa is great, over as hell. Sean always talks about the Thunder Rosa pop. It seemingly gets louder every week. And you're right, Hater never does the DMD, but Britt also never makes Hater feel secondary. She always says, hey, you're right there with me. It's just, I have this. We'll get you that one.
I appreciated that we got more intrigue between Britt and Thunder Rosa, because I feel like that is always a thing that's right there for them to do, provided of course Thunder Rosa doesn't become TBS champion, which I don't think she's going to. I feel like Britt might cost her the match with Jade Cargill, which then leads into an actual honest to God feud, not just this is the happens to be the person in the top contendership spot for Britt. So like, let's actually build that out and let's have Britt look like she's ducking Thunder Rosa until the match is made and we can do it at Revolution or whenever. But I feel like that's the actual time to do that feud.
This is good enough to headline Battle of the Belts. This is good enough to headline Revolution. Sure. It's good enough to headline, honestly, Double or Nothing. And I think whenever they do have a match for the belt, it will be the headlining match and Rosa will win because that's the story you're telling here. Baker can't beat Rosa. She already knows that. That's why she's at all costs ducking her.
Yeah. And there could be a thing that because they showed with this Hangman Page and the Bucks moment that they like to do a little bit of drama in their storytelling when it suits them. So having Jamie Hayter finally get sick of Britt and be part of the reason why she loses to Thunder Rosa, they might decide to do that. I personally always just want who's the best man, who's the best woman, like have that match as opposed to those kind of things, but I think they might be leaning toward that. We got more Britt and more Rebel, but not more Jamie Hayter because she's pissed. We got a Friendsgiving. With Tony Schiavone there as well. And we get Britt being pissed about Thunder Rosa ruining everything. What is announced is that Rio, because 2.5 months ago, she wasn't actually eliminated from the Battle Royal. So she gets a Black Friday deal match. I love how they come up with these.
That's a little cheeky, but all right. You know?
A Black Friday deal match, just like Abaddon had the trick or street fight or whatever it was. And I think this is fine. So Rio gets a shot, and if she beats Britt, then she gets a title match. Okay. R26 sends a Humper Chat saying, a lot may not like or get her. I am a person who does not get Rio. I think she's very talented. I just don't get her. But as a big time Rio fan, I'm extremely happy she'll be back on TV. And this is something I do agree with. I'm glad AEW is tying up a loose end from 2.5 months ago, unlike their other company that struggles with continuity through 2.5 segments.
Now, do you think that they actually sat there and said, all right, you're going to go under the rope, and then we're going to come back to this on November 24th?
People noticed it in the moment, and enough people noticed it that I think this company, AEW, has people watching social media accounts. They see what they're getting tweeted at, and they're like, oh, enough people noticed this thing. We could work this into an angle. And then they worked it into an angle eventually. And I think that that's good.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
I don't think they were like, all right, here, Rio, you're going to roll under the bottom rope and you're not going to get eliminated. 2.5 months from now on Rampage. Like, I don't think they did that.
I like Rio. I think Rio, she wasn't what they wanted her to be, but she's still effective. She's still a great wrestler. I like the Black Friday deal match. I'm assuming that's because she's not in the top five. Therefore, you get a deal. If you win, you get a title shot. I like the name. It's a little cheeky, but, you know, it's at least it's fun.
Mark Losper says, and I like this idea, alternate unlikely fantasy booking. Britt costs Jade the match so that Rosa gets caught up with the TBS title and can't chase her because the one person she fears is Thunder Rosa, and if she's got the other belt, they're not. Then she doesn't have to worry about her. Interesting.
I like that. I do like that.
Interesting. So then we got one of the big old marquee things from this week. We get Colt Cabana and Bryan Danielson. Did you see that that slickly produced little video package for Colt Cabana talking about the history of with Bryan Danielson?
Of course, because thing this company does, so just as good if not better than WWE, because they always do it on short notice, mm-hmm. is they make you care about every single match they put in front of your faces. That is the benefit of not doing live events. Every match can mean something because you're not running it back 52 times a year.
Yeah. Yeah. it was beautifully done, set up all that history, which a lot of people don't remember. Like
at this point, yeah, they don't know.
That's 20 years ago. There's a lot of people watching this show because if this thing plays to a younger crowd that we're not watching wrestling, and certainly we're not wrestling watching ROH at that point in their lives. So I think it's a cool thing to like build that up and allow people to understand that history. But I thought this match was what it was supposed to be. They played into that history between themselves, between it and Danielson won, obviously.
Yeah.
But I really loved that the moment that I will remember from this match is Cabana getting caught on his back with his hands tied up in Danielson's hands and knowing the next thing is to be stomped into oblivion. And he's looking up at Danielson, shaking his head. No, like, don't do this. Like, what happened to you, man? And we're also friends. I don't want to die. We're old friends. Why would you do this? And Danielson looking around the crowd, preening like the heel that he is, and just stomping the life out of Colt Cabana with no mercy. That was really, really good stuff.
So good. And then he rolls him into the LaBelle lock, posing a double bicep before even locking it in.
Oh, so good.
And Cabana taps quickly, and then Danielson kind of crawls on his knees over to a spot in the ring and points at the ground. And at first you're like, what is this? And it turns out he kicked Cabana's teeth right out of his head.
Yeah.
Right out of his... Oof, that was a nasty element that I wasn't expecting, but it made it even better because now it's Bryan Danielson is just an asshole, but he's the best kind because he's a virtuous one and he's right.
Yeah.
And how do you combat that?
I love it. I think it was like a veneer or a cap or something because it wasn't exactly a tooth, but I just loved it. Kicked it out of his face. That's all that matters. And he was walking around holding it up to the crowd. Like, look at what I've done. Look at this. I took a piece of your hero. Like, this is so good. That's such good stuff.
So good.
Mark Losper says, clearly, Danielson is collecting teeth, setting up the obvious Danhausen debut next year.
Danhausen did tweet him. Thank you, Daniel. Here's my address.
Oh, that's going to be good stuff. But he gets a promo. He's interviewed by Schiavone. Interviewed is rich because it's like, hey, Danielson. He just takes the mic and says, "That's right, I'm gonna kill everybody." But he says, "I did what I said I was gonna do, and I'm gonna beat all your members of Dark Order. I hear there are two of your friends that are from Atlanta. I think I'll do that." Chris Reigns pointing out that Anna Jay tweeted out she is from Atlanta. So Queen Slayer is calling out the dragon. She's going to slay the dragon.
Not a smart move.
Reese Power saying next week should be interesting against 10 or 5 as they are both Georgia natives. Does he take both? Here is what my fantasy booking is for next week. I think 5 is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he should beat 5 real quick. Like real quick. Because 5, Allen Angels, is a guy that Kenny Omega in kayfabe has a hard time with. And if he just runs right through 5, then that's something they can bring up whenever Kenny gets back. That's something that Danielson can tease him with. I think that's really cool. Like, he can bring it up too. Like, if he's just crumpled in a heap, like with a kayfabe broken arm, or he's knocked out, he says, hey, this guy over here, isn't that the guy that Kenny has trouble with? Well, that's weird, because I just beat you in like a minute. You know what? That's not good enough. Bring me another one, and out comes 10. I'll take you on right now. And he does them back to back, like right away. And 10 can be a harder match for him, but I think that there can be like something there that we can actually get him like just really calling his shot, because we also got Adam Page coming out and saying, that's enough of this. We're not doing this. You've hurt enough of my friends. I'm ready. let's have our match right now. And Brian Danielson says, oh, of course you would come out right after I've won a match. You coward. That's not cowboy shit. That's coward shit.
He's right, but he's right, which is so good because why are you coming out now? I just had a match.
Yep.
I also love that he said to the crowd, last time I was in Chicago, I debuted here, and you guys were so much more kind to me. I don't think it's me. I think it's you and you're fickle. And he just threw that out there.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I have a word to describe that, and he holds on to it and lets everybody know what the word is going to be that he's going to say. Fickle. And I was like, yay, that's a thing we remember. He said the thing. Yeah, that was good stuff.
So good. And Hangman, you know, he gives Brian Danielson the first shot and Brian takes it, which I really enjoyed. He doesn't walk away. Mm-hmm. He takes it. He slaps him and they go back and forth for a second until Brian runs away from the buckshot lariat.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? Stand there and take it? Like, he's smart enough to do that. But he does leave the ring as opposed to just ducking it, which I thought would have been better. If he had ducked it and then stood up and been like, yeah, we're not doing this. I'm a little winded from my match. Bye. I thought this was all really, really well done. So I guess next week is Atlanta. I don't know where the one after that is, but apparently wherever that is, that's where John Silver is from. So
it's Long Island.
There you go. Perfect. So pencil that in, because that's going to be amazing. And then after that is Winter is Coming, which is in Texas. And people are saying, well, Texas, that's where cowboys are from. Will they do the actual match there? And like, I hope not. I hope we get all of them. All of them.
I hope that they wait till Battle of the Belts, but they do have Winter is Coming. They can. Maybe Brian runs a gauntlet and just beats all, like, literally, I'll take all of you on and beats all of them in friggin' half an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Oh, so good. We got a Ruby Soho and Statlander video package. I'm really intrigued by this match because Statlander did such a great job in her title match a couple of months ago. But it does feel like they still really want Ruby to be like one of their top baby faces. I honestly, if you told me that Statlander won next week, I wouldn't be surprised. But I still feel like Ruby is going to win.
I think you got to go with Ruby. I think Ruby's taken the whole tournament. They have been very... Tony Khan has repeated like 5 times that Ruby says she's never been a part of a tournament like this. She loves this. Ruby has said she's never been champion on TV. They don't have any other champions that are tied in any way to WWE. I think they can get away with making Ruby Soho the first TBS champion.
Yeah, I mean, this is the other thing. I still firmly believe that they're gonna make the TBS championship that bitch show, as Cargill says. I still think they're gonna do it. I'm not saying I want them to do it or I think it's a good idea. I think that's what they're gonna do. I think that she's going to stay undefeated through several title defenses, and the first woman who beats her, i.e. the second TBS champion, gets a huge rub by beating not only the TBS champion, but also ending Jade Cargill's undefeated win streak that she has starting in thing. And I think you can still do that with Ruby coming this close in the final and then eventually beating her for the TBS championship. I think you can tell that story. Or you just have Ruby shock the world in the finals of the tournament. That's another thing they could do.
After watching Jade go longer with Red Velvet, I'm kind of like, unless you really want to tell a different story with this title, if you want this to be the workers' belt for the women, I don't know if you can start with Jade.
No, I agree. And I think that I don't think they've come out and said that. We're anticipating that's what it is because the TNT title has kind of been that. So I'm not really sure.
And I think fans would want that because the women's title has just been, well, this is the next one in the rankings, so do that. But if you do open challenges, if you do something new, you can get something more with this belt. I just don't think Jade can do that right now.
Yeah. So we got our main event, which had a thing everyone's going to talk about. We'll talk about that. But I thought it was really interesting. They decided we're going to do a main event. We're going to do an 8-man tag. Now it's not a 10-man tag, and it's not an elimination tag, but I feel like there was like, this is what you could really do with a whole bunch of amazing guys in the ring on a story to tell right after Survivor Series felt like it had some really lackluster big time, like 10 person tag matches. I don't know if it was like a shot that they were taking, but I really wanted to see something like this on Sunday and didn't. I thought this was an excellent match. Like all these moving parts, all like figured out how to do all this stuff when you needed to. Pac and Phoenix doing crazy stuff. We got Andrade taking off the pants, which I missed him actually doing, but I didn't realize he had trunks under there. I didn't know he had a whole different gear set underneath the pants for his suit. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, very cool. Andrade, it was different seeing him in trunks, but he's got the build for it. This is, without a doubt, I wouldn't say it's a shot at Survivor Series. It's saying it's a love letter to Survivor Series. While coming across as a shot, because the actual Survivor Series was so unlike Survivor Series in years past that it just felt wrong. You know, this match was a lot of fun, but then it was so much more about the characters, and literally every single one of them got involved, and that was what I enjoyed about this match.
Yeah, I really thought everybody did a great job with it. I like the finish getting involved, because most of why I like the finish is because it involves Malakai spitting the black mist into Pac's face, and I need that singles match for 17 minutes. I don't care when you give it to me, if it's on TV or pay-per-view. I need that match like I need air to breathe. This version of Malakai Black and this version of Pac, man, I want to see him do it, man. I want to see him do it. So the thing that everyone's talking about is that Cody does a thing almost in every match where he takes off the weight belt and tosses it into the crowd. Now, this is Chicago, and you could tell when he came out, Chicago hates him. Chicago is fully into the, we're going to boo Cody. Whether or not it's like because it's the fun and trendy hip thing to do, or whether or not it's because we just don't like you, pal. They were booing him. They didn't like him. So what happens, Robert, in Chicago, in Wrigley Field, where the visiting team hits a home run into the bleachers off the Cubs? The crowd, every time, throws it back. And so that is who Cody Rhodes is to them. He is the visiting team. He's the bad guy. We hate him. We don't want your stinking belt. Have it back. Now, don't do that. But I thought it was like this wonderful thing that only Chicago would think to do that. And they were, I think a few people in the audience may have been a little bit overserved. Like they were definitely a rowdy bunch. Don't do that, but it did feel like it was a thing that would only happen in Chicago.
I think the only other city it could happen in is New York. But Chicago definitely came with some fire towards Cody. Unfortunately for Pat, the weight belt didn't hit Cody. Weight belt hit Pat.
Yeah,
which will be great storytelling.
It almost hit Aubrey, which is not what you want, because that's because she's not paying attention to the crowd at all. She got her head down in the match. So Drin says, currently at Rampage, I was wondering if the fan throwing Cody's belt back the first time and the throw it back chants were heard. They definitely were. yeah, that was definitely something we heard. Colin T. Humper Chat says, I usually don't get to catch the shows live, but I just wanted to say I always enjoy listening to you all. As a huge fan of Malakai Black and Andrade, seeing them win main event matches fills my heart with joy. Me too. I love those guys. And that whole corner of the ring, FTR and Andrade and Black, you're sitting there going like, this is NXT from like 2017, yeah. like 2016, 2017. And it's just like, it is just those four guys, put them on the poster. And it is the poster for mismanaged talent over the past several years.
And honestly, I think the guy who brought them in would agree with you. I think he'd probably sitting there watching the match going, we could have fucking done that. We should be doing that. Why aren't we doing that? You know, like, I don't understand it. But honestly, they're better served now. You know, Andrade feels like a main event star. Yeah. FTR is constantly in main events. Malakai Black went from fired to main event SmackDown to fired again to he's doing so much better now. He's that whole side is great. Lucha Bros have always been good. PAC's always been what this promotion needed, and Cody is Cody. Yeah. But of course, for me, all the enjoyment came down to Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard staring off in the ring, getting ready to throw down, and out comes Jose, who felt the need to grab his crotch and tell you he's got the big huevos.
That was an amazing spot with both Tully and Arn giving him the business. That was great, but I did love that stare down between Tully and Arn. One more match, fellas, just one. It doesn't have to go long, but I need to see it.
But again, they're not touching. They have not once squared off. They've been kind of dancing around it. Battle of the Belts is in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'll be damned if I don't see FTR go over the Lucha Bros, because Arn and Tully have finally said, obviously, we're together. It's so good. So good.
Brennan Townga has a good point. Add Pac to that list of mismanagement too. A crowd reaction that I will never, ever forget took place when Neville was very new to the main roster. And Seth Rollins was a new WWE champion for the first time. Old streak of blonde hair, Seth Rollins. And he did an open challenge, and Neville came out. And that match between Neville and Seth Rollins was amazing. And there was a near fall off of the Red Arrow where the crowd went insane. They were so amped for Neville, this guy who was never really on TV, almost brand new, to pin Seth Rollins and become champion. But perfect placement of Seth Rollins's foot, not even being put there, just falling onto the bottom rope. And that crowd goes, no! They were so into it. And what did they do after that? Did they capitalize on how over Neville was? Nah, of course not.
They put him in a cape.
Such bad.
They put him in a cape. I mean, you can add him to the list of mismanagement. He was smart enough to get out before everybody was getting out.
Yeah.
And thankfully he did. But honestly, the whole match, Cody too, he should have been a world champion in WWE. They had him as Stardust.
Yeah.
So the whole match is basically this, look what you can do when you give people proper respect.
Yeah.
And it was such a good time.
Yeah, it really was. New Punk Brent says, AEW cares more about preserving WWE history more than WWE. LOL. It's quite the look against WWE. Also, Cody getting mercilessly booed was a chef's kiss. They're going to be in Atlanta. That's where he's from. Like, I honestly don't know what we're going to, like, if he is, they got to lean into it at some point, right? Like, he's getting things
if they
thrown
cheer
back
him
at
in
him.
Atlanta, he's got the ammunition to say, you see, it's all a matter of venue.
Yeah.
If they boo him in Atlanta, then you got to know he's got to turn. He's got to go back on his word and just do the whole nine to do it.
Sawyer says, I wish Cody didn't throw the belt a second time. but I appreciate him throwing it off camera at fans, not trying to get themselves over on TV. That's true. I personally, the thing I loved the most was Andrade getting it and taking it and throwing it under the ring. And I thought actually was a pretty good way of getting, not actually having it get involved, but apparently that it caught back at there again. Cause after that, I saw it being worn by Cody. Bad One Jambeard says they threw it back to him twice and put it back on. Mark Losper says the worry for me is that the belt spot is going to start a trend. Yeah. How about stop throwing the belt?
Yeah. Just don't throw Cody. The belt. I think
that's the thing you can't.
I mean, he can learn after the first time.
Yeah. Just don't do that. Just don't do that anymore. Like it's a weird thing to throw out. Like it's not John Cena's little towel that says hustle, loyalty, respect on it. It's a weight
or belt. A shirt. Like,
it's not the same kind of thing. And Sari says, yeah. And I agree with this. Humper Chat saying you do not throw things back into the ring, period. Idiots. No matter how funny you think that is or how much you hate Cody, they almost hit Aubrey with that, who had zero chance to prepare because it focuses on the match. Yeah, no, just don't do that. But I did think it was the most Chicago thing.
You know what, though? A lot of things were thrown in that, because now I think about it, Daniel Garcia wasted a perfectly good cup of coffee.
Don't do that either.
And I hate when a good cup of coffee is wasted.
Yeah.
Because honestly, coffee is very important, is it not, Alex?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very important. You're right. Yeah, we got, hold on.
Yeah.
We got a thing we gotta throw to, but it's gonna be weird. So hold on for a second.
Remember, coffee.
Coffee. Remember the coffee. This is why Sean is really good at the segues. And we are not, okay? So hold on. Here we go. Not this. Not that thing. This.
What am I doing with my life? I got to wake up at the crack of 11. I need a new job. I'm too tired for this. Psych! That's because I got 4 Sigmatic coffee. I never tried coffee before, 4 Sigmatic. I was afraid of feeling jittery. But then I heard about 4 Sigmatic's Perform Coffee, and lately I've been having it in the morning. It's infused with lion's mane for focus, cordyceps for performance. As I've highlighted in the past, sometimes I've got some memory issues. Sometimes I worry about retaining things like that. 4 Sigmatic helps out an awful lot. The stuff is legit. I'm more productive, focused, energetic, and feel on top of my game. You can also use it as a pre-workout if you want. It's easier on the gut. You don't have that jittery feeling. And you're probably wondering, cordyceps? Mushrooms? What? Does it taste like mushrooms? No. The flavor's rich and smooth. Perfect cup of coffee with all the added functional benefits. They've got over 30,000 five-star reviews, and they back their product with a 100% happiness guarantee. If you don't love it, it's free. What do you have to lose? You lose your wild morning 11 a.m. hair like this. That's for sure. I've worked out an exclusive offer with them just for Fightful listeners. Save 20% on your first order at the 4 Sigmatic website. That's 4sigmatic.com/Fightful. FourSigmatic. Use that coupon code FIGHTFUL at checkout. 20% on anything you want. Check it out. Wake up.
See, we can't use this one because
no, we can't.
Because I'm not Sean Ross Sapp. So then we have to go somewhere else. Over here, and then we're going to do this thing, and then we're going to do back to this. See? That's what we got to do.
There you go. The important thing is coffee.
Brendan Towngate, still with this little fantasy booking again. Coney reneging on his promise to try and take Hangman's belt because he also saw Hangman's insecurities and spells an opportunity. That's a thing everyone keeps saying, and he always says, I will never do it. But that's exactly what a heel would say. Robert?
You know, I just wonder, like, we've heard the reports about the EVPs losing power. I wonder if it's like that was a genuine thing he wanted, and if Tony Khan could just be like, hey, bud, that was dumb. We're going to undo that, okay? Because I think Cody is selling himself short. He keeps saying he's got like 2 or 3 years left. I don't see why that needs to be the case. I want to see Cody as world champion.
Yeah. I think we will at some point. I think when he turns heel, there's no reason to not do that. There's no reason to not do that angle. It's too good to not try at some point. We got a few. We're going to go back to the beginning with all these super and humper chats. Get them in if you have any more, because we're going to be reading them through to take us down to the end here, guys. Brandon Towngate says, I'm with Robert on this one about the future TBS champion, that Ruby is the best choice for the TBS title. Ruby can put on awesome matches with lots of people. If Ruby is the first champion, I think Serena Deeb should be number two.
I agree.
And I think Serena Deeb should hold it for a long, long time as this heel that cannot be beat because she just loves to hurt you.
And then I think you just skip Jade up to the main title because she's more of a character.
Yeah, I think that you could figure out, because everyone says that Britt is so over, you could make her work as a babyface. I don't know if you want to do that, but the best way to do that is to have her just get creamed by Jade Cargill, who we all don't really want to be champion. Like, that's the thing. Like, she's amazing and she's a crazy look and everything, but like, but I want Ruby, or but I wanted Sheeta, or but I want Thunder Rosa. Like, nobody really wants Jade to be champion, so it's that kind of a thing that they may do.
Yeah, because the thing about Jade is she does look great and she is a star, but because that's most of what she brings to the table, it feels like she's been anointed something that nobody else on the roster has been yet, and I think that would make for a better women's world champion than just here's the TBS belt, try to set the pace with this.
Yeah. Agreed. Drew Nicholas sends in a humper chat saying, Bryan Danielson is my favorite wrestler, and I will even boo him against Hangman. I love how heels and faces get the reaction they're meant to have, because in AEW, we are rewarded for watching. I want to go to Long Island and boo him. Yeah. I also feel like there's a bunch of heels that are over in we appreciate you and think you're a great performer, but we will absolutely boo you against our favorite baby faces. Kind of Adam Cole is never going to get booed making his entrance, but he'll get booed during the match because that's what's supposed to happen.
Right.
Nick Ortiz sends in a chat saying, AEW doing the WWE beat the champ and get a title shot against the champ with Britt and Riho. Here's the difference. That is a specific stipulation of the match announced beforehand. Not, well, you gotta think if so-and-so can pin the champion here, they might get a title shot further down the line. Like, it's actually being told this is for a shot at the title.
And logically, on any show, it should be, because if you beat the champion, it should say, okay, you at least deserve a shot at the title. The issue becomes when you A, over rely on it, and B, say, well, it might maybe if we need it to mean this, but other times it just will never mean that.
Right. Brendan Towngate sent another one saying that if Thunder Rosa beats Britt Baker, I think is what he's saying, then Jade is the one to eventually dethrone Rosa, which gives her a lot of time to work on her game too. Yeah, I think you could probably do that too. Definitely. And Brian Medina says that with the swerve of Dante Martin turning on Leo and signing with Team Taz, that Brian Medina thinks that Leo Rush could get Brian Cage and have a battle with Team Taz. Like, at least they have like common enemies there. I don't know that that's where they would go. But I think there's that's certainly, at least they have the common
enemies. That's an option. Yeah.
Yeah. The Badger to One Jam Beard says that Billy and Todd ass. It's Rod and Todd ass. Billy Gunn. It's really, Todd ass is the S. So it's not the two kids aren't the tag team. It's Billy and his son. That's right. They're ranked fifth. Now, and oh, they've good. Never lost, but they're ranked fifth.
Now that's okay. Good. I do hope that eventually, when they have a match, which I will assume he had Winter is Coming to mark the 1 year anniversary of Sting coming to AEW. Yeah. I hope that part of the promo is you're just mad because Austin is my actual son.
Yeah.
And you've got the surrogate kid that you're going around protecting.
Or Billy can say, you're just holding a grudge from WrestleMania 31 when I came out and ruined your match with Triple H.
You know what? Oh, honestly, it works.
Bad to one, Jam Beard says that Darby Allin was channeling his inner Troy Polamalu with that tackle. Yeah, I saw people saying Ray Lewis, Sean Taylor, a lot of headhunters in that that he looks like in that one. Alan Jeanette says that with the CM Punk and MJF feud, that Punk could go to Kingston or Darby Allin. Probably Darby. I don't think Punk and Kingston ever teamed together. But Punk could go to Darby to do a tag match with MJF and Wardlow on a Dynamite episode. Go Fightful. Yes, go Fightful. Thank you for the super chat. I don't know. I don't know who his go-to tag partner might be for this particular feud. But I do think
he said he wants to team with Sting and Allin. But he's also said he wants to team with Danielson. I don't see that happening anytime soon. I mean, I could see him teaming with Allin.
If depending on how far they're going to push out this MJF match, I think we're getting, if depending on how far it pushes out, you could get Punk versus Wardlow. You're definitely getting a Punk versus Spears match out of this because that's a guy that Punk can go over clean and not have a problem with at all. Depends on how protected they want to keep Wardlow. But I think if you're going to do that, you could definitely do MJF, Wardlow, and Spears versus Punk and Darby and Sting because they have all that history. And Brian Medina says that with Thunder Rosa, with Jamie Hinder. Oh, he says I could see a battle of the belts: Jade versus DMD, belt versus belt. Jade wins and vacates the TBS belt. Oh,
not yet. But
that would be that's far too early. It'd be like 3 days later. I could see something like that happening, where you're not allowed to hold both at the same time, and so that's how they get like one vacated and do like a ladder match or a tournament for it or something.
I think that's eventually what you get when you get if they were to go with Rosa as champion. I think it would be leading to that.
Yeah, Mark Losper says that Punk naming all of the Pinnacle. Doesn't that suggest he's going to run through all of them? I don't know. Like, I feel like FTR is busy doing other things right now, but I think we're definitely getting a Sean Spears match, probably a Wardlow match, maybe a tag in there before we get to see Punk versus MJF.
I don't think it means he's going to run through the Pinnacle. It could, but I definitely think if they go the route of traditional MJF matches, the labors of Punk or whatever we're calling it would be very interesting because I can see Hero being one. I can definitely see them saying, look, if you're ever going to do any business with Cabana, that's the one. And I think you can play around with that more before getting to Wardlow in a cage.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Something.
Yeah, agreed. Brendan Towngate says, again, thank you, Brendan, for all these super chats. So appreciated. Thank you, guys. I love what AEW is doing so much. So many fun options and so many different stories. We've been missing a show of this quality stateside for so long. There are so many options. Like just the idea of that so many things that, let's say, for example, we don't know if the Dante thing is real or a work on Team Taz. If it is real, there are all these people that Leo could team with to find to go against Team Taz. If it isn't indeed a work, then how do you figure out your way out of that? Is that Dante turning on Ricky during a match where they're tagging together? Like, what's the thing you could do? There's all kinds of things just from that one particular program.
And that's the beauty of it.
Well, something we didn't bring up, there was the Jericho trying to get over Squarehead instead of Blockhead. Yeah. No. Eddie Kingston did it better. I'm sorry. Like it was in the moment, and like, your head is so square. Look how square your head is. Doesn't he have a square head, Chicago?
Like, he's, I thought like that was just trying way too much. To his credit, they did it with Pavlov's dog, kind of. Yes. They went along with it.
They had to.
It's fine. I don't want to see Jericho and Hager against 2.0. So I hope they don't go that route.
Yeah. I thought they were good. My worst nightmare with this is they try and have Jericho get some of the cool factor by teaming with Kingston while Moxley is away, and just have like, and like trying to get Eddie Kingston vibes on him. Brian Medina has all kinds of donations. Thank you so much, Brian. You're spoiling us. Could I see Kenta at MJF versus Punk and Darby? I mean,
somebody's got possible. Somebody has to give Kenta CM Punk. He's been asking for way too long.
He wants it, man. He wants it. Normhausen saying that I can't watch live. People are giving me sacks of money for drinks and jokes. I just wanted to wish everyone but Vince a happy Thanksgiving, and may Gabagool be with you and also with you. Thank you, Normhausen. And the last thing we'll do before I'm going to let you give them, you know, where they can find you and everything. And then I've got one last thing as a jukebox request from Jam Beard.
All right, so you can find me everywhere at Dude Felice. That's usually in one of the up tops or the bottoms, but we don't got that today. So that's at Dude Felice, DudeFelice. That's on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. And you can find me every day on Fightful, writing stories. I want to give a shout out to Gisberto Guzzo, who's been helping me out while Jeremy's away on vacation, a much-deserved vacation. And yeah, follow Fightful Select.
On Fightful Select, you can find me doing Raw and SmackDown reviews. I really enjoy watching Dynamite. Not so much Raw and SmackDown. So I have a different tenor when I review those shows on Fightful Select. Some people like it, some people don't. Your mileage may vary. But you can also follow me at Alex Sour Graps on the Twitter. And on Tuesdays, co-hosting with Kate Hensler, we do a NXT 2.0 after party. We're building towards War Games, and it's gone a little crazy. So please come check us out over there. Hold on. Ashley Cartwright says, just let Jericho have his last run. Come on, we will miss him when he's gone. It doesn't have to be great. He knows his body is failing him. Chris, it's okay. You can go into the light, brother. It's all right. You don't have to hang around. Thank you. Thank you, Ashley. But over on Tuesdays, you can see me doing ridiculous stuff as a jukebox for whatever your requests are, where I will sing songs as meme wrestler Tony D'Angelo, and I got this one from the Batted to One Jam Beard to sing CM Punk's theme as Tony D'Angelo. So here we go. They paid me to do it. I got to do it.
I mean, absolutely.
Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cult of personality. I know your anger. I know your dreams. I've been everything you want to be. Oh, I'm the cult of personality, like Mussolini. Mussolini is one of my countrymen, my paisan. And Kennedy, I'm the cult of personality, the cult of personality, cult of personality. Neon lights, Nobel Prize. When a mirror speaks, the reflection lies. You don't have to follow me. Only you can set me free. Huh? I'm the cult of personality, Gabagool. Thanks, everybody. They paid me to do it. I got to do it. thanks, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you all here next week. And Sean will be back. And the segue will be much, much better.
Much better.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best-kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.